Hey guys, this is Caitlin Raimundo, former NCAA Division III volleyball player and co-founder of D3 Athletes, and you're listening to another episode of Water Break. For this episode, I sit down with Ryan and Terrell to discuss the daily grind of a small school athlete. For more exciting sports content, you should continue listening to the Water Break podcast. Now let's start the show.
Hey everyone, my name is Ryan Cavan, and I'm here with my co-host, Terrell Thurlgood.
What's up, everybody?
We want to welcome you to Water Break. Here on our show, we are going to have conversations with each other, as well as with a variety of other guests who are just as involved and as passionate about sports as we are.
From professional athletes, to coaches, to college players trying to make it big, to the high school athlete trying to earn that scholarship, and everyone in between.
Whether you're a coach, player, or just a fan, we are here to have unique dialogue and perspectives on topics we have thought about, talked about, and are now excited to bring to you.
So be sure to stick around, hit that subscribe button on whatever podcast app you're using right now, and get ready to relax and take a water break.
Welcome back to another episode of Water Break. We are excited about the episode today, T.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun one. I'm excited to introduce you guys to a very special guest.
Our third guest on the show.
Number three.
We're just moving along here
lucky
with
number
guests.
Three.
I feel like we're getting better with the interviews, T.
Yeah, hopefully they're starting to get better. Last week's was really good with Millie and then Coach Hall in week one. So we're excited for number three.
Lucky trying to have three. Some variety with our guests. You know, people with different backgrounds, different experiences, and who have kind of just been in different fields, different sports. I think it just kind of allows us to connect with a variety of audience.
Yeah, and that's where we, you know, want to go with the show, you know, is to kind of talk to more people who have different perspectives and backgrounds whose voices just aren't out there as much. You know, you kind of hear from a lot of mainstream athletes and the stars, which is good. Hopefully we have some star athletes.
Yeah, and we would love to have some stars on here, but
love to do that.
It's not like, you know, like you said, you hear from those people all the time and professional athletes, you know, and, you know, whatever sports podcast and talk shows and stuff like that. But the truth is the majority of us are not professional athletes.
Yeah.
We're not there. And so it's cool to just hear from people who are kind of in the middle of it right now. And that's what we got today. We have a guest that is kind of in the middle of her journey right now. So intro her a little bit, T, and then we'll bring her on the show.
Yeah. So we started off with a AAU coach. And then last week we had a WNBA basketball player. And now we've got a former college volleyball setter at Chapman University, and she is the co-founder of D3 Athletes here in Orange County, California, and we're excited for you to join us. Welcome, Caitlin, to the show. We've got Caitlin Raimundo on the show with us.
Yeah, hello. I'm excited to be here.
So you played at Chapman and started D3 Athletes. And so we're excited to jump into, you know, your whole journey and everything that you've done up to this point in your life. And so with all of our guests, we'd like to start off with a little rapid fire.
We do. And we like this kind of gets our audience to know you a little bit and puts you on the spot. So the first thing that comes to your mind, this is your answer here.
All right, I'm ready.
You're ready for the challenge.
I'm ready, yeah.
Caitlin is, from what we've learned already, she's extremely competitive. The intro here, she was trying to make sure she got it done in one shot.
She did.
I will. I think everybody should know that I did it. So
very humble as well. As humble. We can tell. She's humble and competitive. All right, here we go. First question. Late night snack or late night place to eat, Denny's or IHOP?
I like Denny's.
Yes.
Yeah.
Two, four,
I
do. Sets, eight.
I used to go there all the time. So
Denny's is the place to be. Denny's. Every college student goes to Denny's at least once a month, right? Is that accurate?
Yeah. Well, the Denny's that was by my house is gone now, so that's kind of like a bummer. But love Denny's.
Yes.
For sure.
Here we go. Would you rather have a beach house or a cabin in the woods?
Ooh, easy beach. I am not good at camping. I am not good in the outdoors. I don't survive well like that. So definitely beach.
I'm with you there. I'm not a big outdoors person either. Yeah, it's probably because you grew up in Orange County.
I
grew up in Orange County. Yep. So Orange County people do not like
I grew up in the high desert. So basically outdoors in the woods.
I like scared nature.
Scared of people like trying to kill you like this.
Yeah, I don't
like
know.
Like in the movies.
I don't have very much realistic experience with the outdoors. So.
Yeah, I'm with you there. All right, favorite winter Olympic sport?
Ooh, that's a hard one. I feel like I really like the ones that I definitely can't do. Okay. So I feel like figure skating is like up there, especially the partner figure skating.
Oh yeah.
I just feel like I don't understand how you would lift somebody on ice. I don't understand how you throw people. I don't know. So that's gonna.
Did you ever like practice with your siblings? Did you ever like throw each other in the air?
I mean, not in like a playful way. You know what I mean?
An aggressive way.
Yeah, it's not quite the same vibe. My brother is significantly larger than me now too, so it wouldn't go well for me.
He definitely has the advantage.
He has the advantage now.
All right, we did an episode on this, but we want to get your take. What's the best sports movie?
That's a tough one for me because I don't watch a lot of movies. So I like probably don't have the greatest repertoire for that.
Okay.
But I did watch Remember the Titans and I loved that one. So that's like, that was the one.
Both of ours.
Oh, really?
Our number one.
I mean, I guess I watched a good one then. I don't know like what made me decide to watch that one of all the movies, but I loved it.
That is a great one. Mm-hmm. Who is your favorite athlete?
Ooh, I mean, this is a popular answer, but I mean, I grew up watching him. I grew up watching Kobe, Kobe Bryant,
Rest in peace.
Around here. Yeah, exactly. So obviously devastated, earlier this year, but I don't know. Mama mentality, man. I have plenty of shirts that say that.
Yeah.
And that's definitely something that's inspired me for sports as well. So
cool.
I'm with you there on that one.
Mm-hmm.
What's okay for breakfast, pancakes or waffles?
See, I love them both. I'm a big foodie, big foodie, love food. I think I would choose, if I'm making them, pancakes, because I am not.
You don't trust anyone else.
I'm not going to try the waffle thing on my own. But if Eggo I go waffles. To a restaurant waffles for sure.
Mm.
Ooh, Eggo waffles. I had those growing up.
Everyone
like,
can
every
cook
day.
Eggo waffles, yeah. Right?
Well, that was like my dad's like go-to for breakfast for us. Like we perpetually run late. If you've like met my family, we perpetually run late. So it was like Eggo waffle with Nutella, like running out the door kind of thing. So love them.
I think what's
place.
Underrated is hotel waffles. You know what that continental breakfast.
the little
grill.
Like
got really excited.
I feel like they're always like slightly soggy though. You know what I mean?
I was literally about to say the same thing. I was like underrated. Every time I have a hotel waffle, I'm extremely disappointed.
Yeah, it always looks so good. Always smells so good. But then I get on my plate and I'm like, I don't know.
I don't travel a ton. I travel a little bit. But I've just resorted to when I go to breakfast, I just go straight for the cereal because I'm not trusting anything. Like,
wow.
I'm just going
Bold.
For the cereal.
I mean, I guess that's like the safe choice.
Yeah, you got to take the risk a little bit.
I'm not a huge cereal gal. I don't know why. We just didn't do cereal that much. I know. So I'll go for the eggs, which I feel like that's questionable, but
yeah,
so far so good. So
I'm definitely the cereal connoisseur, I can say for sure.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So if you're watching a movie, would you rather watch a comedy or a thriller?
For sure. I'm like big, like really jumpy, real jumpy. So definitely a comedy. I don't do well with thrillers.
So not scary movies or anything
No, not
your thing?
I've tried. Like I have really tried, but I just don't end up watching the movie. Like I don't get anything out of it if I'm like, hiding behind my hands the whole time. So
yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I think I agree. I do love thrillers, but I'm probably a comedy guy. You too as well, Tia.
Yeah, I love comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Last one. Favorite action star, Sylvester Stallone or Arnold Schwarzenegger?
See, this is another, another movie question. And I don't watch very many movies, but I have watched enough. I think I just like, I love Arnold just as a human being. I just think that he's such an interesting person. So I feel like I have to, and it's like iconic, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the I'll be back thing.
Terminator.
I'm not gonna do. That's
I like how
the
you didn't even
the,
you didn't even know the name of the movie.
Yeah,
you just
I'm
said
like,
that I'll be back
thing that he does in that
that's
movie.
That's hilarious.
He did something like that.
Yeah,
did you
I'm
see
not,
that video on that went out, that went around? It went viral where that guy like jump kicked him in the back.
Oh my god!
No,
it just happened a couple of years ago.
Really?
Yeah, go watch it. It's crazy. I don't even know where. I think he was at a meet, like a wrestling meet, and he was like watching, and then all of a sudden this dude just comes out of nowhere and just jump kicks him in the back, and I was like, what?
And like what
he's
I want to know is like who fell though? Was he like rock solid, the guy that was kicking him fell?
Yeah, I don't think Arnold fell.
I was gonna say I doubt it, like,
but
I feel like that's a lost cause.
Yeah, but he's pretty old though. He's getting up there in age now.
Yeah, yeah. he's getting closer to 60.
But he's still swole though.
Like that.
He's still swole.
Yeah, he'll still beat us up.
Yeah,
yeah.
He would still destroy me. He will be able to beat me up up until the day he dies. He will be able to destroy me.
Wow, you're giving him a ton of credit right now. You know, he's only like 5'3", right?
Is he really
that
short?
Have you seen his arms, though?
Yeah, he's really short.
I fell down like a YouTube hole, as I do often, actually. That's the reason I probably haven't watched very many movies. I fall down a lot of
YouTube
holes.
That's this guy right here. Terrell is the
YouTube
same.
And I watched his gym and fridge men's health one. That's such a random video to have watched, but I watched that one.
Yeah, that's a wormhole video.
It's like I don't know how.
That was definitely about
10 there.
Deep into the up next clicks. That was like 10 deep, and you're just like,
it's rough
what?
Times. And yeah, not? No, but he's shredded, man. And like, I was like, I just wonder what his gym and fridge look like.
Did you find out?
I did. I don't remember them being like all that, like, you know, spectacular. He's just really ripped. And that's like what I got out of that video is that he's still very ripped.
Yeah, he's a very strong human being for sure. Well, let's jump into this a little bit here and get to know you. We'd like to do a little bit of background at the beginning just to kind of for our audience to be able to connect with you here a little bit. And then we'll kind of jump into to more of the questions regarding kind of sports what role you've played in sports. But tell us a little bit about how you grew up, your family dynamic, and then share with us a little bit. We said you went to Chapman, how you kind of chose Chapman. Just go a little bit through that there.
Yeah, for sure. For me, sports is very much like ingrained in my family. Not that either my parents are like, you know, really professional athletic beings, but they just grew up playing sports and they put us into sports like ASAP. They were like, you guys gotta start learning how to use your bodies. And then also team sports, I think they found a lot of value in the way that you can learn how to just like live life through team sports.
So many life lessons.
I feel like I've written every college essay ever on like sports basically, which maybe probably gets old, but I mean, I survived. So here we are. But yeah, I mean, I did ballet, I did swimming, taekwondo, all the team sports like soccer, things like that. Finally landed on volleyball. My brother and I and all our cousins as well all play sports and we like just love it. We've done tournaments together, which is really fun.
Super cool.
Yeah, super fun. A little bit like people are kind of like, are they all sisters, brothers, confused, you know? And you know, we're fine with that. So it's okay. But yeah, and then I was playing volleyball straight through high school. By college was kind of like, you know what, it'd be really cool to play, but I wanted to go into physical therapy. So a big thing for me was finding a school that hopefully would have both. And luckily for me, Chapman is 20 minutes away from home and, you know, still in Southern California near the beach, you know, but does have both a bridge program to their graduate school for physical therapy and Division III volleyball, which I felt like really fit kind of my goals. So decided to play there, ended up playing with one of my cousins, and my brother is there now, who, you know, isn't like necessarily on, they don't have a team for men's, but he plays on the club team there. So it's been fun. It's been a great time. And then now I'm at Chapman grad school. So
super cool.
They're taking a lot of my money at this point.
They're a huge fan of you.
Yeah.
I went to T and I both went to the same college in Lancaster, West Coast Baptist, and we played Chapman. And it's actually super funny. I think it was like 0-24 or something like that against Chapman. We were just awful.
Oh, no.
And my freshman year, I arrived.
Oh.
He was the game changer.
Oh, my gosh.
I didn't play that game, but we won.
But your
presence.
And
so at that point, we were like 1-25 against Chapman.
Oh,
and it just felt so amazing that I could say I was there.
I think you said miss while someone was shooting a free throw. And
that was your role. You never know.
Everyone's got to have you're only as good as your weakest player,
that's
right?
True.
You know, that's what we say all the time.
So you guys were great.
So we were great that
year
because
exactly.
I'm a pretty good player and I might have been the weakest player. So
it takes courage to admit that.
That's
you
right.
Know?
That's right. Absolutely. So
so you played club volleyball. How did you?
I did.
How did you feel like the grind and like the lot of the tournaments and stuff like that with club volleyball prepared you for, you know, playing at the collegiate level?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I feel like even it wasn't that long ago that I was playing club. It's so different to what it is now. Like, I was not, like, lifting every day and playing club like a lot of the girls do now.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I did. I mean, I probably would be even better, like, much better probably. But it was that same kind of collective mentality for the most part. Like, you're at a point where maybe, I mean, there's a little bit of your parent input, but for the most part, everybody that's playing club enjoys the game and maybe even wants to play at the next level. So for me, club, especially in comparison to high school, was much more intense and more oriented towards that like next level. And some of my best friends still, people that I still keep in touch with, are people I've played club with. I'd like to say that almost every friend I've ever had, I've kind of introduced to volleyball at some point. So like almost all my friends also play volleyball. And that's just a really cool thing. So yeah, I mean, I would say college is a whole nother step up from club for sure. But it definitely prepped me in just in terms of kind of that mentality.
Yeah, because we look at like volleyball, especially in the area, it's pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoy playing volleyball. I'm not a great volleyball player, as Ryan's laughing. I think volleyball, though, is a fun sport. Volleyball is a fun sport, I think, that just a lot of people can get into and play, yeah, whether it's just for fun. I think different than a lot of other sports where it's a little... I mean, volleyball can be frustrating if you're really good and you play with people who aren't that good.
You know, you try to avoid those situations.
Yeah, but I think it's still fun, like, you know, to get out there and play.
No, for sure. Especially on the beach. That's something that a lot of my friends, and even now, like I'm still in class now as a graduate student, we go play open gym all the time. And there's plenty of people that have never played before that just love it now. So
I was going to ask if there's like open gym volleyball. Like,
yeah.
Because I, you know, we play pickup basketball all the time, and that's, mm-hmm, you know, and I played high school volleyball. I play in it every once in a while.
Ooh,
very, very, that's cool. Not very often. It's cool. Thank you. I appreciate cool. that. I was a star. But yeah. No, just kidding. I was not.
Well, what position?
I'm just 6'5".
Oh, I mean, that helps.
I played middle hitter.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. That's good. You're exactly where you belong.
And then the second I was done serving, I was pulled out immediately in that back row. They're like,
well,
Ryan,
at least
no.
you served.
Yes.
At least you served.
No, I have. Yeah, I could serve.
That's good.
I could serve.
You know?
Absolutely. And I loved volleyball. It is
so much fun.
To me, you know, basketball is I guess, volleyball is much more like enjoyable in the moment, because mm-hmm. it seems like your whole team is on the same side and there's just so much bonding, and
yeah,
like it's really enjoyable to be with your group, and just the excitement when one of your teammates succeeds, and mm-hmm. just, you know, girls do it more than guys, but all the cheers and the chants and everything like that. It's a fun atmosphere to be
no,
in, really.
Yeah, for sure. And we don't run very much.
That's true.
I should tell you as well. So
if you're listening to this and you hate running,
you should
pick up
volleyball.
I swear that's half the reason a lot of my friends joined. They were like, you don't run? I was like, no, we do not.
All right, I'm
sprint,
in.
Sprint, but like, yeah.
I could do that.
Yeah, exactly.
We wanted to talk a little bit about club. And you mm-hmm. did mention that club volleyball was probably superior to high school volleyball at the time. Maybe explain why that is. Why do you think that is, that the club volleyball is so much more valuable to a player than high school volleyball is?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I also played at Northwood High School, which is, you know, a public school, a big public school. So we were like good enough to make it to CIF, but kind of almost always got crushed in that first round kind of thing.
Yeah.
But with club, you kind of just, you try out and you go to the club that, A, first of all, accepts you onto the team, and then B, that you want to go to. So kind of what can happen is you get these like super teams of very competitive players. It's not just kind of random players who need a sport basically in high school, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so usually people that are playing club are either looking to play the next level or are at least willing to spend the money to really hone in on their skills. And club is like, I don't know, 8 months out of the year. It's like a long season. It's like right after high school to when high school starts again. So you have to be dedicated enough to really spend that time kind of honing in on that. So for me, at least, you go to these huge club tournaments, and that's just where all the recruiters are. That's if you're trying to go to college and play, that's where you're going to find outlets to be able to go to the next level.
Yeah.
So
that's where you get looked at most, would be in club tournaments rather than in high school games.
Yeah, exactly. Or at least that was my experience, especially at a public school instead of maybe like a bigger school,
yeah,
like or a more competitive school like Modern Day.
Do you think that also is because of the area in which we live? Like Orange County is big volleyball.
For sure.
I mean, you think about UC Irvine and their program there and tons of programs in the area. It's just in even the high school, it's so popular.
Oh yeah, 100%. I mean, it's a lot of girls even that I did not start on the beach, and it is very obvious when I play beach, but a lot of people did just kind of pick up a volleyball with their parents or something on the beach growing up there. So there are girls that have been playing since they were like 6, 7. Like, I don't even think you can get the ball over the net at that point. At least I don't think I could have, but they're already, you know, ball handling and things like that. So if you're growing up in that kind of atmosphere, you just end up with, and the weather here, you know, Yeah. You can't really beat it.
You could play outdoors year round.
Yeah, exactly. You could play year round. So it's just super competitive in this area. I'm sure maybe in other states it might not be the same. Or maybe there's like one club team. I have heard that from some teammates that I have from other places.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of said that they had to drive a few hours to like even get to a club.
Yeah.
But yeah, at least here, it's definitely the club teams that really take over in that way.
So I'm not like a huge into volleyball. So like what are some of the differences between beach volleyball and indoor volleyball?
Oh yeah, there are plenty. So obviously, first of all, it's 6-on-6 versus 2-on-2, which is how beach is played. And then beach, it's one of those things where you have to be a very complete player to be a good beach player. Because you, depending on who gets that ball first, you might have to pass and hit, or you might have to set. It kind of just depends. And then there's the elements, which, the sun, the sand, the wind. That ball is only like, I think, 8 ounces. I could be wrong on that. Somebody might need to correct me. I don't really know.
I don't know either.
Yeah, we're not going to debate you on that right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I think it's around 8 ounces. And so if there's any kind of wind, that thing is going places, you know? Yeah. So it just has its unique challenges, and the sand itself makes it really difficult. Mm-hmm. I've found that every time I've tried to step on the beach after a long time, I just sink into the sand. I get like 1 inch off the ground and I miss the ball like the first like 3 or 4 times. You have to get your sand legs back, as they say. And then indoor just has a whole nother, there's a lot of complexity because the ball is moving so fast. People can jump so much higher. There's a lot of complexity in like rotations, the way you move around the court, and it's mm-hmm. a lot more specialized.
Mm-hmm.
So like you said, you played middle. I was a setter. That's all I did. Like you would not see me hitting in a game. I would definitely get in trouble if I tried to hit in a game. Like it's just one of those things. So I love them both for different reasons. Although definitely now in my older age, beach is a little bit more gentle on the body. But yeah, they're great, both of them.
Did you say older age?
Yes.
Aren't you like 22, 23?
I'm 23.
Okay. But,
I would say that 4 years of college sports really ages.
Yeah.
The body,
there we go.
You
it puts you like
I mean?
10 years ahead. Now, I enjoy watching the Olympics, watching beach volleyball.
Yeah.
Extremely entertaining. Kerry Walsh, Misty May.
Mm-hmm.
That was like, man, when was that? When they were, was it last? The last Olympics? Or no. I think
they were done in...
Yeah. I think it was 8 years. Yeah, yeah.
It would have been ago. Beijing. China.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I have met
it was
Misty May.
Really?
Yes, I have. Because she does setting clinics in the area.
Oh, okay.
So I have... It's like me at like 13 years old, really awkward. But there is a picture of me and Misty May.
That's super
me
cool.
Me and probably every other
every other camper there.
Yeah.
I feel like those two like... But put beach volleyball on
the
map.
Oh my gosh. They were incredible to watch. And I think I want to say that Kerry Walsh is still playing. She has like 3 kids or something and is like 40 something.
What
I
a champ.
Say. And I just don't know how she does it. Like, I don't know.
Because
you
think you're old at 23.
I know. I know. I am breaking down. And all my teammates, especially as we hit, I went into senior year with like 6 other girls. We all were kind of the same age. And we all hit senior year, and it's like something broke us. Like, I don't know what happened, but in that preseason, we were like, oh, my God, we're not going to survive. We're not going to make it.
That's
but,
so,
yeah.
So sad. At that point, you were 22.
I know. Literally. I don't even think I was 22 yet.
I was
probably like 21. I was like, I should be in my prime, and instead everything hurts. So,
oh,
hence physical therapy, you know?
There we go. And that's what made you choose that. No, I'm just kidding.
I know. That's basically, though. I feel like that's the story of a lot of physical therapists, you know?
Yeah. Well, there are some huge, as you mentioned before, there are huge differences between high school and college sports.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just the jump. I don't think... I mean, maybe athletes who are like going to Duke and these places, they understand, you know,
yeah.
because they, but I think of just the normal athlete going to play at a D3. I don't think you really understand the magnitude until you get there.
Yeah.
Talk about that a little bit. Just the challenges you faced and the kind of like, oh, wow moment. Like
oh,
when
yeah.
you walked in, like this is not my high school volleyball anymore.
Oh my gosh. Exactly. That's like pretty much the exact feeling. Especially with volleyball, it is a fall sport, so you are thrown into it, like, that's first day.
Yeah,
you
I
know
didn't think
I
about
mean?
That.
Yeah, so we used to get there about a week and a half to 2 weeks before everybody else, and our first day was fitness testing. This is the only time I've ever had to run for volleyball, like, ever in my life. It was a 2-mile. It was, like, a timed 2-mile. Everybody was always scared. We had to train over the summer to run our 2 mile in a certain time. It was, yeah, good times. But yeah, so especially as a freshman, like getting there, and A, not knowing anyone, and then B, having to like compete for this spot, but also trying to become friends with these girls because literally nobody else is around. Like you have one option for friends. It was just such a big shock. And then obviously the schedule is just so much. I think people think D3 is kind of, you know, you're not playing for scholarships. There's no fame. Like nobody's trying to watch your games on TV. Like you're just playing because
you're just
genuinely
yeah.
you love the game, you know, and you love the people that you play with. And so I feel like people think that it's really chill, and it is not chill. It is like the opposite of chill because it's the same. It's a very similar schedule other than you're not like flying to games. Mm-hmm. We used to, especially because our season is so short, we used to play 3 games a week. So we would play Tuesday, Friday, Saturday. The Friday-Saturday split was a tough one. And especially away games, depending on how far we were driving, that's like a 4 to 6 hour, you know, turnaround. And then every other day, except for Sundays, we would be practicing for it was an hour and a half to 2 hours, but then if you take into account like training room time, that's about a 3 hour time that you're spending practicing, not to mention sleeping, eating, recovering in every other way, school.
Yeah, I was gonna say school.
Yeah, which is especially, there were a good amount of science majors that I played with, and I mean, it's tough. It's really tough to balance that.
But. Yeah, I was going to say for especially like students at Chapman, like you are going there for, the majority of people, like you mentioned earlier, probably are not going there to specifically play volleyball.
Yeah.
You're going there for your major, but you also love volleyball. And it's just like a bonus. Like this is such a cool thing.
Yeah.
And so your main priority is not volleyball, but the coaches, their job, their career is coaching volleyball, and so to them they want that to be your number one.
Yeah, exactly.
And so super conflicting.
It's just crazy. It's one of those things where you just have to learn how to balance that. And there's plenty of girls who, you know, because you're not on athletic scholarship, quitting is not that uncommon because it doesn't really affect you in terms of how much you're paying to go to the school. So the people that last those 4 years are the ones that just truly love the sport and love who they're playing with.
Yeah, I was just about to ask you about that, about the quitting, because you weren't scholarshiped, you've got to pay to go to college, and you got to play the sports, and you're, you know, doing a major like physical therapy, which is not easy at all, you know, with science and stuff. So, you know, just for you personally, what was that struggle like, or that challenge like, to go, do I quit or do I just keep going?
Oh, for sure. And especially like during, there were games and practices, you know. Coaches are coaches because they do, you know, they have to do what they do, which, you know, isn't always the nicest thing in that moment. But it was just, for me, I like love the sport of volleyball. I truly love it, like deep in my core. And it's such a weird sensation to have, but it's true. And then I love the girls that I played with. I came in with, I believe, 7 other girls. We were all freshmen. There was nobody playing the position that I play when we got there. So there were 3 of us setters that all just had to compete for that spot. And as much as that was a weird, like, competitive thing, they also became some of my best friends. And so all 7 of us that kind of came in together are now, like, we still have a group chat that's called Retired. It's got, like, grandma emojis next to it. We immediately changed it to Retired after our last game. But they are, like, my best friends from college. And I think them and like having that kind of connection is one thing that really did push me through. We were kind of like, are you staying? Like, I'm staying. We all got to make it through. We're going to make it to senior night, you know? So that was a lot of it as well. But for me especially, it's just the love of the game. I absolutely love the game. I still coach. I still play as much as I can.
They're your best friends, but you wanted that spot.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. I'm competitive. I don't know how many times I've said it in this podcast, but I'm competitive.
It's okay. That's good. That's why you're on the podcast.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So, I don't know. I want to be on the court playing. Yeah. So, yeah.
So, speaking of senior night, like, what were some of your favorite moments in your college playing career?
Oh, my gosh.
That really stuck out to you?
Yeah. There's so many good ones. I mean, a lot of them obviously revolve around the team and the part, like, with the girls. But I'll give you a competitive one because I have to give you like a sport one. Yeah, I'll just say it one more time. I'm competitive. We just had this great game. It was my junior year. This is like the one, I don't normally remember like games specifically, but this one game I do remember because it was just, it was like a wonderful experience. Anyway, so we were playing, there's a team in our conference called Claremont McKenna. They are notoriously very good at sports. And they actually this year, this junior year, went on to win the NCAA championship for volleyball. So they went on to win Division III. And so when we played them in the regular season, at least through my career, we had not beat them. They were always just physically, you know, very talented. And it was a home game. We had taken the first two sets and then lost the second two. Volleyball's best of five. So we went to that fifth set kind of knowing, like, we would have to leave it all on the floor if we were going to take it, especially after having lost the momentum from the recent two games. And we always used to say, especially during conditioning practices, if we get to a game five, like, we can't lose a game five.
Yeah.
You know, we don't lose game five. We made it there. We can't lose this. So obviously you say that and you try to make it happen. And so normally you play to 15, but you have to win by two. And I remember this game was so long. We just kept tying. We tied. We're at like 23-23 at this point. And Wow. It's like high stakes and everybody's like, people are subbing in and out, like that kind of thing. I was lucky enough to be on the court in those last few points. We pulled ahead 24-23. And then there's like videos, I think, of this. And that's why maybe it's so vivid. I got a great pass, was able to put up a pretty good set. And then my teammate, Lindsay, shout out Lindsay, put that ball down. And that was like one of the greatest. It felt like we had won some sort of national championship. Yeah. It's like mid-season. It's like very mid-season. But I mean, to beat the team that went on to win, like, you know, NCAA Division III,
yeah,
was just such a cool like team experience. So that one sticks out. That's a special, special place in my heart. You know,
it's the moments like that. That's what make you love the game.
Oh,
like,
man, yeah.
I mean, I wasn't even there, but I could feel wanting to rush on the court moment.
I know people were crying, and there was pretty good like crowd that night too. So it was really nice to kind of feel that support.
Yeah,
especially in those like kind of late points. And it's not like every game that was like that went our way, so it was really cool to have that game, you know, really pay off for us.
What's the fan base like, you know, with that?
I mean, in general, Division III is not, you know, the most supported by fans, but for that one I think we had to have had some sort of support from other teams, you know, football team, basketball team. I think a few of them were there. And so it's really cool to have that kind of support behind you, especially in a late game situation. And crowds tend to really get, you know, energized in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And so as much as you can't focus on the crowd, to be able to hear that really helps you, you know?
Yeah.
And, it was such a good experience. It was awesome.
That's super cool.
Yeah.
Well, you were talking about, kind of your coaches and how, there's people are quitting all the time because not all the time, but you know, it happens
because it's
D3, they're not scholarship and stuff like that. And we were kind of discussing like some things there. So with coaches, would you say in college, was it more positive reinforcement or negative? And then you as a player specifically, how do you respond to coaching? What kind of style of coaching do you respond well to?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it definitely depends on the coach in terms of positive versus negative reinforcement. I like to say that our coach had a little bit of both, and we had a brother-sister duo that coached us, and they definitely kind of embodied both of those things.
Like good cop, bad cop?
Yeah, kind of that kind of thing. So they, like, you know, I think a lot of times they were great, and then a lot of times maybe for whatever reason that day I wasn't responding, you know, that kind of thing. And also depending on the girl, I feel like it really does depend. Like, I feel like all of us had different, perceptions of our coaches as well. But in terms of my specific style, when it comes to criticism, it's definitely evolved. My coach, I had one coach through club, pretty much from when I was 14 to when I was 18. And he was very much, he would say a lot during practice, and I would say probably more on that positive reinforcement side. But he was very real. We definitely had like discipline punishment type times. But once we got to the game, he wouldn't really say anything. He was like, you've done all the work. At this point, I'm going to sit back. The only thing I can really give you in this moment is like strategy type stuff.
Yeah.
And I responded really well to that, especially in high school. And then in college, obviously, coaching change. They were a lot more vocal during games. And I just, like I said, very competitive. Say it one more time. including with myself. So I've always been like my worst critic. So I think it's one of those things where when I used to get negative reinforcement, that would be something that would be in my head and I would be thinking about that. And that could be a real self-destruct button sometimes. And so just mental toughness is something that I had to really work on through college. And again, like there was no scholarship on the line, like nothing like that. But I want to be playing. I want to be doing the best that I can for my team. So that was something that I really had to work on. Me and a lot of the other girls, I think that was a maturing that you had to do. And I always say this because I feel like this is where you can really see the psychology of like me as a freshman. I, in high school, was a 90% server, meaning I used to serve 9 out of 10 in the court. Like that was the MO. That was how my high school team played. I got to college and I used to miss like 2 to 3 serves per match. Which, I mean, if you total up how many times you serve, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was, like, in mid-season, my coach literally came over to me with the stat sheet and was like, Caitlin, like, what's going on? And it was like, I got in my head. I was like, I missed that serve last time. And that ended up being something that really played on my mind, you know? And I just feel like, especially as I got towards the end of my career, I got a lot better with the positive and negative reinforcement and just being able to take words from tone, you know?
Yeah.
Separating like how somebody said it versus like the value in the criticism, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's something that you see probably for a lot of players, but that's something that I definitely noticed as I started to become a senior, wise senior towards the end.
we had Millie on the show last week and she said something that really stuck out to me. She was talking about, you know, the development of players and stuff like that. And, she said for girls, they face a lot of pressure, social pressure and image pressure. And sports is one of the healthiest things, for girls. How do you, how was it for you and as far as your development, as a female athlete, from high school to college and even now?
Yeah.
To your professional training?
No, I mean, I definitely agree. I mean, even within those 4 years, talking about what I was just talking about, that is so much growth that wasn't just in sports. Like, that's something I learned in sports, but that was something that is now something I use all the time because I get critique all the time. That's like, it is for whatever you do.
And that's the beautiful thing about sports.
Exactly. It translates so well, and it's something that I see every time. When I interact with other student athletes, I can tell. Like those are the people that I'm definitely drawn to. A lot of my friend groups are those people because of the way they handle adversity. And it's something that's really, it's pretty much what drove me to even choose the career path that I'm on, the physical therapy career path, because you're constantly challenged. You're constantly having to adapt. You have to do it day to day to day with every single patient you encounter. And I just think sports prepared me for that. So I would say that, females in sports, it's so important because not only is it like empowering, but it teaches you so many things about life, which is like kind of a crazy thing. And I feel like it's kind of a cliche and people say that all the time, but it can't be like underrepresented, mm-hmm. So, I owe a lot of my personality and my confidence, especially to sports.
Wow. That's really good.
Yeah. Great answer.
Like that.
What, in this area, I think it does, but overall, maybe I don't think volleyball really as a sport gets the respect it deserves.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Why do you think that is?
I know. It's a funny thing. I feel like the way that it's represented in movies does not help. You definitely see kind of like this. It like looks very, and not that girly is bad, but sometimes it's presented that way.
Like it's not intense.
Like, it's not intense. Like we're just having fun on the beach. We have like, I know I've definitely gotten comments about the uniforms and things like that, beach volleyball and also indoor volleyball, lots of tight uniforms, tight short uniforms. I feel like another thing about it is if you're good at it, it does look quite easy. And like a lot of sports are like that, but especially indoor volleyball, there is a lot that goes into making it look easy. So I feel like it's one of those things where people will watch and be like, I can definitely do that. I can do that. It's easy. It's easy. It's easy. And then they try and they're like, not so easy anymore.
Yeah, you brought up a good point.
That's a very good point.
Because even me, didn't play volleyball growing up. I started playing for fun 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, volleyball, I have the strength. I can hit it over. I can jump high. I can block the ball or whatever. And then the ball comes over the net. It's coming towards you. And you just flail your arms. Like, the most. Like, it's just funny. The most, like, some of those athletic guys, like, when a volleyball is coming towards them, they look like they've never played sports before in their life.
It's fair. Like, it really does expose people. You know, it can be one of those sports. And so I think that's why if people haven't tried it, I'm like, they're like, oh, it's easy. I'm like, you give it a try.
Yeah.
You'll see.
That is really true, because when a great volleyball player is playing, it looks like it's just so smooth, and it's not like, you know, sports sometimes are so technical, and volleyball is technical, but it just looks, you know, it like looks when a player, everything's so fluid. It's just like, oh man, that's cool. You know, volleyball, And it seems so easy, but it's when you get out there. I mean, we joke about it, but we have a volleyball league here at our church, and you know, we put together some teams and stuff like that. And I was like, Terrell's an athlete. You know, Terrell's an athlete. He's my buddy. I was like, I'm gonna make Terrell a captain, and he was a captain, and he picked his team and everything like that. And we go out and watch the first game. I was like, man, T's not as good as volleyball as I thought he was going to be. Like, it's not tough. Awful, but I'm like, man, he's not as good as I thought he was going
to
be.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, the ball is light. It moves around, and you have to, like, kind of what coaches will tell you is the ball only does what you kind of tell it to do, which I feel like is an obvious thing.
Yeah.
But, like, when you're there and, like, thinking about how you have to orient yourself to get the ball to go to a specific place, it's difficult, and it's one of those things that I don't think you can really get from watching, especially a good player. But, I mean, it's like every other sport, I'd say. There's a lot of preparation involved, a lot of eye work, a lot of anticipation that, especially as a beginner, you just will not get. There's a reason that it looks like the ball is coming to players, and that's because they've done the work in, like, the half a second that they've had to be in the right spot, so.
Well, let's transition here into... your organization you've started, D3 Athletes.
Yes.
We'd love to hear about that a little bit more. Tell us a little bit about what that is and what inspired you to start D3 Athletes.
Yeah. As of right now, it's an Instagram page, so it's not like something that we're selling yet.
Okay.
Although that is definitely the goal kind of in the end. And kind of the idea is, so I started with my friend Julie, who is in studio currently. She's hanging out for support.
Yes.
And it's funny, we didn't actually meet playing volleyball together or anything like that. We played on separate D3 teams, but ended up going and getting internships in sports performance. And it was like a very immediate connection. The same kind of like for the love of the game type of mentality definitely fits both of us, even in our career path. And so we were connected right away. All of our coworkers still actually make fun of us because we show up whenever we want to like work out, and we like get kind of creative in workouts, I would say. We like to combine a lot of sports when we're kind of doing our cross training days, lots of like, but like, I think it's soccer tennis, maybe lots of soccer tennis, that kind of stuff. And that kind of like passion is just the way that we like to work out, you know, like we love fitness, and that's just one of those things. And then when quarantine hit, I posted some sort of like time lapse of me working out, and I got like an aggressive amount of DMs, more than I've ever gotten, just being like, hey, like, what workout did you do? Can you write it down? And so I told Julie right away, of course. And so we just kind of started to work together to post as many workouts as we could. We're like, you know what? This is the time. We'd always joked about starting a business together. I'm more on the PT side. She's more on that like sports performance coaching side. Let's just make a page. And it's all about education, really. And that's kind of the thing that we've been so lucky to have, is a background in like the science of fitness. And so we were like, if we're going to do this, we're not just going to like post cookie cutter, you know, workouts. Like, we're not going to be another one of those pages, and like, respect to them. Great work.
Yeah.
But we want to like be something a little bit different. So we try to really bring an educational stance on what fitness is to make it really like a lot more approachable and accessible to a lot of different people.
That's super cool. That's like, it's funny, you know, I'm just listening to you and you're telling, it's funny how you started everything. This is literally how me and Terrell started our podcast.
Yeah, you know, I mean, the quarantine started.
And then the same thing for, you know, we want to be something different. We don't want to be the typical, oh, here's another fitness, you know, Instagram page. And there are hundreds of them out there, you know, that you can view, but something that's unique that people can see and just say, there's something different about that. There's something different about them. And That's exactly what we want to. So that's super, super. I just thought that was super cool as
no,
we were hearing from you say that.
That's what I love. I mean, I've listened to a few of yours and I absolutely love it. I'm here now. Also,
so you're on
to
the
be
ground
here.
Level.
I know. I'm right here. So, yeah, exactly.
So well, maybe me and Terrell will get on D3
We do live chats. We have one. I mean, I don't know when this is coming out, but we have one tomorrow.
That is the last thing you want is me on your story trying to work out. I am not in very good shape right now. So that's the last thing you want.
Yeah. That's the thing.
You talked about quitting earlier.
That's okay. that's the idea, though. Accessibility, you know? Like, yeah. we didn't want to focus just on athletes as much as we both do work with a lot of athletes. We think it's really important for a lot of different people to have access to fitness information, especially the people that, you know, aren't marketed towards mm-hmm. normally in, you know, fitness and wellness type of stuff. Like, they should have access to that so they can get into a healthier lifestyle, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. I like your guys' your tagline for your program is train smarter. Not think mm-hmm. smarter, train smarter.
Yeah.
Like, talk a little bit about that, like, where that came from and, you know, what does that mean? Train smarter.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's kind of along the same lines of kind of we like to say, like, train with knowledge is another way that we like to say that. And again, we just were lucky enough to study, you know, what fitness is, what wellness is. For me, it's a lot of rehab as well. And so we just want to, like, let people know that they don't need to be doing this, like, crazy workout that makes them not be able to walk every day. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that is not necessarily the best thing for your body. And while we know that, and it's, I think most, like, professionals, I guess, will tell you, they can't just, like, put out a workout and it's not going to work for everyone. That's just not the way it is. Mm. And so the approach to our page is much more educational. So we like to just kind of put out the way that your body works in hopes that people will just kind of be like, oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that before. Yeah. And a lot of it is technique based. A lot of it is, like, the, you know, energy systems that you're using and like the why basically behind mm-hmm. everything that you do when you work out. Because I think that's how you retain information. Like, that's how you're like, okay, the next time I do this exercise, I will do it in this way because I now know why you have to engage your abs when you do, like, a hip flexor stretch. We talk about this all the time, actually all the time, and I'm sure that's, like, one of the next posts that we're putting up, because the amount of times we see people do it wrong and, like, maybe even hurt themselves, you know, mm-hmm. that's, like, the last thing that you want when you're trying to get back into fitness or something, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden you've hurt your knee. Like, that's, like, the worst thing. So that's kind of the goal of our whole, you know, page, is to more educate people on how to work out and how to work out safely and how to reach out to professionals, hopefully, that are local, that can give them that information about their body. Like, mm-hmm. your body is so different than everybody else's body. You can't be doing cookie cutter stuff, especially if you're in pain or something.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to YouTube how to fix this pain. Because 100%, it's not going to be the same for you as it is for mm-hmm. everybody else. So.
Yeah, I really like how you guys delve into that, mm-hmm. you know, especially talking about the rehab, because you watch other pages, you watch other workout programs or whatever, and it's like, do this many sit-ups or, yeah. you know, lift this many weights. And mm-hmm. whether it's people do it the wrong way or they're sore or they're hurting and then they just keep pushing through it. And then yeah. that's where you know, have the injuries. And mm-hmm. I think a lot of people get, you know, injured when they do work out. So I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
The way you guys design the training program.
Yeah, exactly. So
what is kind of the vision? Where do you want this to go? What do you see this mm-hmm. kind of turning into? Share a little bit about that.
Yeah. I mean, at first it was kind of just for fun, if I'm being honest. A lot of friends and family ask about this, especially once you tell somebody you're in PT school, like, you'd be, I mean, maybe not surprised, but so, like, the first thing that comes out of somebody's mouth after that is, well, so I have a little bit of pain. What do you think you can do about it? You know what I mean? So people are asking about that. So at first it was kind of just something fun that we'd be able to put out information for. And you know, going on, it's growing so quickly, and we're kind of like, you know what, this could become a little bit of a brand for us. And, like, Julie and I both plan to probably do a lot of training. So eventually we're looking at doing, like, personalized training programs. We've done a few for, friends and family for sure, but eventually we'll probably be selling that as a product. And yeah, we're just kind of, we love the fact that it's a very collaborative learning space. That's why we do live chats as well, mm-hmm. which is similar to this, where we kind of bring on a guest and we talk about their expertise in mm-hmm. the, like, wellness fitness industry. So it's kind of a cheat, honestly. We get to learn as well. That's one of our favorite things. Like, we just love learning and evolving in our field. So
as we kind of wrap up the show, what's, you know, you transitioned from, you know, being in a small school playing Division III to now pushing yourself towards, you know, continuing what you love and pursuing what you love. You know, what's one lesson or a piece of advice maybe you'd give to some of those athletes in smaller schools as they're trying to figure out, what do I want to do or how do I continue on to pursue, you know, what I'm passionate about?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think one of the greatest things is you have the tools. Like, once when you're playing, like, once a college athlete, always a college athlete kind of thing. You have that mentality. You have all of the qualities that you need to be really successful in whatever, whether it is fitness and like that kind of along that same sports world or not. You have all of those tools. So it's just about utilizing them and really kind of going after whatever you want. With those traits in mind and showcasing them. We had a really, really cool program actually in undergrad. Oh man, I can't even remember what it was called at this point, but that was what it was geared toward, was showing student athletes how to market themselves as student athletes. And that was something I really learned a lot from, because I feel like I was like, you know what? I can time manage well. That's what I got out of, you know, being an athlete. But there's so much more, the adaptability, the initiative, the way that you carry yourself a lot of the time, and, you know, that you're forward thinking. And obviously the teamwork aspect, that's another obvious one. But there are so many things that you can offer to whatever field that you're going to be in. And so trust that, you know.
Cool. Love it. As we do with all of our guests, we give them an opportunity to kind of plug whatever they got going on. So tell everyone where they can find you guys and how they can learn a little bit more about D3 Athletes.
For sure. Yeah. So page is called D3 Athletes, Caitlin and Julie, but it's at D3_athletes. And currently it is a Instagram page. We have just set up, like, literally today, a Facebook page. If you head on there, you'll find kind of, we do workouts. We do those every once in a while, and we do them through Zoom actually. So if people really want to work out with us, you can always do that. Our posts pretty much are educational. And then of course we have our live chats that are a little bit more, Q&A type, which we like to open up to our audiences.
Well, Caitlin, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. This was so much fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Honestly. And we will catch you guys on the next episode of Water Break.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Water Break. New episodes are released every Monday, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button to be notified when a new episode is available.
As you continue to listen to the podcast, we would love to hear from you. If you'd like to give feedback on the show, or you have a topic you'd like us to discuss, send an email to waterbreakpod@gmail.com. Once again, that's waterbreakpod@gmail.com.
We'll see you on the next episode of Water Break. Stay hydrated.